everybody. It's Lance Dawson, who, along with Andrew Stewart, are the co-hosts of our little podcast called Backstage Lowdown, where we get to talk to musicians and artists and creators, and we try to get behind the scenes, dig a little deeper every week, and find out what makes them tick, how they do what they do. This week, we are going all rock and roll all over you. We've got John Tustian from the band 30-odd-6.
Backstage Lowdown.
Who drums and lays down the beat for these guys. John, welcome to Backstage Lowdown.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. This is great. And you know what I have to say quickly is that this is already the best podcast out there because you've picked the drummer of the band. Right? The drummer.
The most important dude.
Like the most important dude. You're right. So I have to say, you know, you guys are already number one for me.
Nice. I don't know why they don't move drummers right up to the front of the stage. Let the singers and guitarists sit in the back.
Yeah,
really, you should be highlighted.
I say that all the time. I just want to have a riser at the very front. So I'm at the front of the stage.
Yeah.
But it unfortunately, it doesn't happen. But maybe someday, maybe we can move. Maybe it's a goal to move forward with, right?
Yeah.
Are you the sex appeal of the band? Is that how that goes?
Absolutely. I'm the sex appeal of the band. I mean, come on.
Every drummer I have worked with says that. And he said, why do you guys hide me behind the kit? I'm the only thing that, you know, keeps this band
going. Put me out front.
That's why they hide us. That's exactly it. They don't want us taking over. They don't want us taking the stage, right?
Keep the mystique in the back.
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
So John, how have things been going? I mean, the live music scene obviously is just crawling out of the ether right now. So how have you been maintaining everything?
Yeah, well, you know, when it all first shook down, we had played a gig on February 29th and then the first COVID go around. And yeah, you know, things all of a sudden shut down as we know, and we didn't do anything, didn't know what to do. And of course, there were a lot of artists doing, you know, online stuff. And I did a little online thing on the band's Facebook page, just a little cover of a song that one of our originals, just for fun to keep us out there. And then in last fall, when things opened up a bit, we were doing some Facebook lives, right? We'd started jamming again, and then we just threw threw the phones on and did these Facebook lives, which was fun. And then it just all shut down again, and we haven't done much. We just started jamming again, probably maybe a month ago. You know, I think independently, we did a few projects. I did a project with a friend of mine, just writing and recording some stuff, you know, via online back and forth. So yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think, I want to make a shout out here to the people that are, this is their bread and butter. So, I mean, this is not my bread and butter. I wish it was, but it's not. But I have friends in the industry, and it is. I've got, a good friend who owns a sound and lighting company and another guy who's a sound engineer who makes a living being on the road, and they've really struggled. So I'm just happy that they're getting a chance again to, to start putting shows
completely.
On.
Completely.
That's a really good point. There's so many people sort of behind the scenes that not everybody thinks about, right? They just think about the bands and the musicians and maybe the songwriters, but the guys that are doing lighting, even the people that provide the tour buses. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Buses are just sitting there and they're millions of dollars and it's really hard. So good point.
Like I got to be honest. I don't know how some of them have survived. Like,
Probably some of them haven't, quite frankly.
You're right. You know, I guess some of the government subsidies have certainly helped them out, but it's been a long road. You think of how other businesses have opened, closed. These guys closed and closed, right? That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty hard to create a side hustle out of thousands of dollars of lighting. Right.
So Yeah. Well, and again, a friend of mine who is a lighting guy, he was just picking up odd jobs, drywalling,
anything he had done
in his previous life, right? That he could do it. Right. So, yeah. So again, just great that we're opening up and they're getting a chance to do their work again.
Yeah. It'll be great to get live music happening again and all of those people working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is 30-odd-6 thinking about, Is that happening? Is that getting back out for some gigs?
Yeah, you know, like I said, we just nicely started to jam again, but just last week we had a shout out from a guy who does booking and stuff, and said, hey, you know, we got this spot. This is actually kind of funny because I'm the guy in the music industry in Ontario that tried to make it but hasn't made it but still playing. But this shout out from this guy who's booking a place north of Newmarket, and it's an old barn that's been transformed into a wedding thing. So you got to remember, because of COVID, no one's been able to get married, weddings, all that kind of stuff. He's got like 10 spots a month for the next 3 months looking for live music for this wedding venue. Now, I don't want to be the wedding band. Right. However, if it's a way to get out and, you know, get back on stage, yeah, you know, that's going to happen. And I think actually, you know, the bars, there's a bar we play fairly regularly in Newmarket that's already had some live stuff, like duos coming back on. So I think,
awesome.
I think possibly maybe the COVID thing might help us out a bit for us guys that like to play the bars around the province and stuff, because we haven't been able to do it. And I think maybe people are going to want to get out and see it. So, you know, fingers crossed on that.
Are you actually playing, like, are they doing weddings at this barn? That's what you're playing, a wedding? Or they have a barn normally for that, and now it's going to be, hey, come on out and see 30 odd six.
No, I think, no, it's like, this is a wedding and they're just looking for entertainment.
Have they heard your music? Right? Like, you guys are maybe a little bit heavy
I have to say, we've done in my entire time with 30 odd six, we've done two weddings. Okay.
Okay.
And our thing, it's always been a situation where they saw us in a club. Okay. So, you know, this one girl, she saw us in a club in Oshawa and she said, I absolutely love what you're doing. We like the originals. We like all the covers you're doing. It fits us perfect. We want you for our wedding. And we're like, we're not a wedding band. Doesn't matter. We want you. Right. We did it. And I mean, the wonderful thing was, she's like, oh my God, you made the wedding. It was so great. And we did another one. Actually, this was pretty cool. It was an ex-Toronto Maple Leaf, and unfortunately, his name escapes me, but he has he had a cottage up Bob Cajun area, and his daughter getting married. And again, he was actually a bit of a friend who knew the band, and they heard the music, and she's like, oh, I got to have them. So, okay. So we did this wonderful show up in this beautiful cottage property north of Bob Cajun. And again, at the end of it, they're like, oh, you guys made it. We loved it. So, hey, you know, again, to your point, Andrew, they have to kind of hear what we sound like to know, you know, before we jump in, right? So
I can just see like grandmas and aunts and uncles slam dancing at the front of the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you never, sometimes you get those ones out, right? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. So we'll see. I'm not sure we will take any of these gigs, but just to get to the point that, yeah, I think there's a bunch of stuff that's going to start to come our way or open up, and just looking forward to getting back on stage. Yeah,
absolutely.
So you had mentioned at the beginning that you've been working on a bit of a side project, which is called Relics Toque.
If that doesn't
scream Canadiana, I don't know what does.
Well,
I guess you have to be of a certain age as well too, but tell us what's going on with that.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah, Relics Toque. Relics Toque was the band I was in before 30-06. And Relics Toque was created right here on Manitoulin Island, which is where I am today. And a high school friend, right? And so it was the first band I was ever in. And we were originally called the Studebaker Props, which was an interesting name in itself. And then, you know, moving forward, things happened and we morphed ourselves into Relics Toque. It was myself and my friend, and we picked up a bass player, and we had all decided, okay, we're going to move to Southern Ontario and we're going to do this, right? And was cool. Yeah, played some cool shows back in the, I guess that would have been, you know, 95, 96 time frame. It was our first chance to play in Toronto, play Lee's Palace, play the Elmo, play these different clubs. So anyway, I guess to get to the next point is that obviously I've kept contact with the guys, and the lead singer songwriter, he just reached out maybe a year ago and said, hey man, I got some songs. And so we've just been writing back and forth. So I mean, with the way technology is these days, right, I've got a nice little recording set up in my basement, he's got a nice little recording set up in his. So he writes a song, says the whole thing, sends it over to me, I put the drums in, maybe some vocals, and then all of a sudden we've got songs again. So that's actually been a lot of fun, and yeah, something that 30-06 should be doing, but 30-06 is a bit lazy. So But that being said, yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool to actually reconnect with your past like that, right? So
that's awesome.
Again, yeah, yeah.
Do you find that you're coming up with different things because of the different guys? Like what you create with 30-06, it's just a totally different experience than with Relics Toque?
Absolutely different. I mean, the band styles were much different. I mean, 30-06 is born out of grunge and post-grunge. I mean, who's kidding? Who, the band was created in like 95, around that time. And whereas Relics Duke was certainly in the beginning was jumping more on the Canadian alt folk rock thing, like into the Blue Rodeo, Sky Diggerish kind of thing, right? In that late 80s, early 90s stuff was happening in Ontario or in Canada. And then we morphed a bit into a little heavier stuff too, just because grunge hit and you're you know, our roots were punk rock. So, right? But yeah, definitely when you... different songwriters, and they bring out different things as far as me as a drummer. They bring out different things that I might want to play or what I want to add or what I want to do. Or so for sure. Whatever you just, whatever the songwriter brings is what you kind of tailor make yourself to. And I mean, I have a style, so you're always going to hear my style, but you change it up.
Yeah. Really nice. You mentioned a few times, I love all these really interesting gigs, right? Playing a barn, playing a cottage, those kind of things. What's probably, and also the Alma Combo, like some really classic Canadiana bars, right? The Horseshoe Tavern, those kind of things. What's been your most interesting gig? Like, what's been the gig that you're like, man, if I could do that every month, that'd be the thing.
Oh my gosh, that's a good one. I mean,
a lot of iconic venues out there.
Playing the Horseshoe is just, and I don't think there's any band out there, whether they're the big guys or little guys like us, will tell you. I mean, that's where you want to play. I mean, it's the Horseshoe, very iconic. So I'm not sure whether I can just pigeon it down to one spot. The Alma Combo, again, really cool. Lee's Palace was cool back in the day. It was such a big bar.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether it's a venue I can pin it down to. There's been some interesting shows. I mean, I got to at least do a shout out to the reason that I'm probably here. I mean, and not necessarily that this would be a gig I'm going to do again or whatever, but this is one of the cool things that got me into this. And it happened right here in Manitoulin when I was 18 years old. I had a very fortunate situation where there was some well-known First Nations artists that were looking for a drummer for their band because they were going to open up for Blue Rodeo here on one of the big reservations, and the First Nations
that's a big deal
on the island. And I was 18, right? So I was playing with Rudebaker Props that were going to become a Relics Duke, but we were like brand new. I had been playing drums for like 2 years. Okay. So, you know, and so I got the call and I was like, wow, this is like super cool. So, you know, I auditioned and, you know, got the show, got the gig, whatever, and then played this show. And here I am, 18, in this arena on a big First Nations reservation opening up for Blue Rodeo. So I thought, wow. This is it, man.
You can't get any bigger.
I'm going to make it. Okay. Like, this is it. This is going to be my life. And honestly, that's the trigger that probably pushed me to where I am now. Right. Because who's kidding who? It's Blue Rodeo, you know. And obviously, over time with other bands, 30-06 shared the stage with some cool people, right? I mean, Headstones, Jeff Healy. But that Blue Rodeo gig, and you know what's great about that is that here's this. Think about me here. This is a story from a few years back. I was watching the Sky Diggers at the Horseshoe on their Christmas gig that they do every year.
Yeah,
and because I absolutely love the Sky Diggers, like I love them, and you know, maybe had a few beers, and I'm downstairs coming out of the washroom, and who's there talking to someone else but Jim Cuddy, okay? And of course me, I gotta go like, oh, hey, Jim Cuddy, how are you? He's like, oh, hey. And I said, yeah, remember me? I'm from that, you know, when you did that gig on Manitoulin Island like forever ago, like I was the drummer in the band, like, man, it's so great to see you. And then I joked about it. We have a mutual friend, so I could corner back to that mutual friend.
At least you've got that.
I've got that, but on a props to him, he's such a super nice guy. And he was like, so awesome. Down to talk and chat and laugh about my being so excited. Right. And, So, you know what? Cool venues. I'm not sure about, there's a lot of them. I think just cool gigs and cool experiences with artists and other artists, whether they're big or small or whatever. Right.
Yeah. It's crazy that the Horseshoe comes up time and time again, but it's literally just this hole in the wall of a bar, but that's where everybody wants to play.
Yeah. And I guess the legacy, obviously it's been there forever and everybody's played there. Yeah. Right. And it is that hole in the wall and the back that where the stage is and the floor back there is that checkerboard floor. I think so. I haven't been there in a few years, but it probably still is. And I don't know. Yeah. It's just, it's Toronto. It's just, that's the club, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few of them. I think it used to be like the Maple Leaf in Timmins. It was always a big hit one too, right?
I have been to the Maple Leaf, not to play music, to drink beer, but I have been to the Maple Leaf. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I don't know if it's still, I don't know if it's still up and running, but.
Could be, you know, speaking of Northern Ontario though, Townhouse Tavern in Sudbury. I'm not sure you guys are familiar with that, but I spent some time at Laurentian University and was playing gigs in Sudbury, and that little bar is still going, and talk about an iconic Northern Ontario bar where all the bands going through would play the Townhouse, right? Little hole in the wall, right? So
right on. So John, do you have we've been talking to a few different musicians and songwriters and stuff. So is there a preferred process for you in terms of how you go about writing a song? And and let me ask you this too. You said you did some live stuff on Facebook, just, you know, keep 30-odd-6 up. So do you play other instruments than the drums?
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Okay. Cause I was just trying to think how you write.
No. Oh, well, I tinker around with the rhythm guitar, but no, I don't. I when I say I'm just like a 3-chord guy, I can strum C, D, and G, which, yeah.
That's all you need.
Punk song, that's all you need.
Get you there.
Yeah, but I don't know. I as far as songwriting for me, what I like to do, I mean, 30-odd-6 is an interesting one, and lots of times we write out of jams, okay? I mean, our lead singer, Pete, will usually have a vocal, something he's working on or whatever, and then we will jam it out, which makes it a little bit more difficult because you got to jam, and that's kind of how we write songs. And so now with say Relics 2, for example, like I mentioned, my friend Christian is sending me an entire song, bass, guitar, lyrics, the whole thing, and I write and I put my drums to that, right? So I guess there's just those two separate processes that I get involved in. It's just jamming it out, right, just off the floor. And I like to then take a track back though and be able to sit down and listen to it back. I like to think about it so that I can maybe put things in, because I sometimes off the floor I'm not doing what I want to do, or I just need time for it to digest, right? So I usually like to hear it back a bit and then, you know, give it some thought. So
you guys have all that. So both those bands that you're with have been together for a while, right? So there's, I guess everybody's got a thick skin and everybody's been able to hear, hey man, this song is, this is not good.
Oh yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Like you have to have that freedom, right? To say this.
You do. And that's absolutely like I've been with 30-odd-6 for a long time. I started with them in 97. I left the band in 01 for a few years, but came back in 08. Been with them ever since. So, you know, when you play with people that long and you can tolerate people, I mean, we're very, very good friends. And I think we would agree that we all love playing with each other on stage. So then therefore, when it comes into a practice setting, you can easily say, ugh, that's not good. Yeah. And not be worried about someone, you know, taking offense to it, right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's also the beauty about being in a band that's been around that we've been doing this for a long time, where it's different. If you're a studio musician, you get pulled in and the pressure's on you to perform, or you can't, or you have to do what they tell you to do in the studio. Cause that's a whole, you know, studio.
That's what you get paid for.
Yeah. It's a whole different game. Right. So that's the beauty about being in a rock band where you can talk about it and talk it out and less pressure.
So what's the secret then for keeping a band together that long when so many, whether they're small or they're big, you know, it always boggles my mind when a band becomes successful, you know, and so few get to that level and then they decide, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. And
they pull
the chute. So many at the lower levels are like, what? You couldn't set aside your issues to, you know, live the dream. Are you nuts?
Yeah. So, I think you have to check your ego at the door, and that's been used many, many times. Right. So, and I think you have to be fair to everybody in the band. You know, lots of times what happens, and we've watched the shows, the documentaries where, you know, bands aren't democracies. Lots of times, certainly when they're getting close to making it or when they make it, and where, you know, royalties and cash and songwriting stuff doesn't get split up evenly. And then, you know, when that starts to happen, you know, things, you know, people get their possibly nose at a joint if they're not happy with it. And I think you can trace a lot of breakups back to some stuff like that, right? Where things just aren't open. It's not fair. I mean, I can give you examples of some big, huge bands that are fair. You know, I mean, U2 was one of them where they split up everything evenly. REM was like that. Rush was like that. You know, I mean, they Rush didn't want to have anything to do with splitting things up as to who did more. They just said, no, we're going to split this three ways. And I think, I think that fairness and that understanding and being fair to everyone in the band is a big thing, but it's hard. And it's, again, we can watch rock documentaries over and over, and you see them break up because of that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I would add to that is that you mentioned that you're all pretty good friends. And one of the things that when I was when playing the circuit back in the day, my wife would always comment on different bands that we'd come across and say, you know, they're a good band, but all those four guys or whatever don't look like they would have anything to do with each other once they walked off stage. And so to me, that's a fragile band because they don't necessarily enjoy being each other. I mean, you know, I'm conjecturing, right? But I think that's kind of the secret too. If the four of you can go out and have a beer or play a round of golf or whatever and just enjoy each other, then the music becomes, this is easy, or at least easier because to check your ego at the door. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're developing a relationship that's outside of the band. So that if, you know, like I know that just even my personal experience, when I left 30-odd-6 in 2001, I was still friends with, you know, I developed a really good friendship with the two key members of the band.
Yeah.
And we kept that relationship up, whether we were just talking on a phone or dropped in. I mean, and that was completely outside of the band, right? So I think that's absolutely key, is to have an other relationship with them other than the music.
Right. Yeah. It gives you a lot of flexibility, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
It's like Andrew and I, we never like see each other outside of this podcast.
That's because of COVID.
Yeah,
so we do everything online. We can't actually get together. Soon we'll be able to have a beer. I think we can now, actually.
Yeah, you should be able to now. I mean,
I think so.
Exactly. Yeah, all right.
So now, Lance, you've dedicated to having a beer.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right.
Put that on the calendar. So, John, what's it like up in Manitoulin? That's a great
place.
Amazing.
This is
paradise. Is that home for you?
That's cottage, isn't it?
I am at the cottage. Yes, I am at the cottage. But yeah, I grew up here. I was born and raised here. Yeah.
Nice.
So, and I'm very fortunate to have a cottage here. And yeah, to me, this is Ontario's paradise.
Right on.
So, and I'm coming home, right? For me, it's coming home. So, I got a little break from my regular job and up here just, enjoying some great weather, enjoying the lake and, it's fun. It's great.
Right on. Andrew was telling me, and we were, you know, I was reading and listening to 30-odd-6 and you're saying you're kind of immersed in music, right? You've got a couple of sons that are in the game and out playing as well. So do you get to play with them?
They won't let me.
they don't want dad involved.
They don't want dad involved. I mean, the fun thing about having, I have two boys that are both heavy into music, and it's certainly a wonderful thing being a father who loves music and is into it. And then he's got two sons that are too. And my oldest son is a very, very good drummer. My youngest son is a singer songwriter and they're 18 and 20. So they don't want me, here's a good story why they don't want me, other than helping them mix their songs, right, and record their songs.
Dad's got a recording studio in the basement.
Yeah.
You're allowed to come down at that point.
Yeah, they're very critical of that though too, Dad. Dad doesn't sound good, But my youngest son, Connor, he's like I said, he's a singer songwriter. He's got a really, really good song right now he's working on. And my oldest son, Mason, heard the song. So my two sons, they were in a band when they were little guys. So we did the typical, not the typical, but we did the rock band, school of rock thing for them. Right. So I have video of these guys when they were like, 11, 13, playing Blink-182 covers at a bar. Right. I mean, so it's pretty cool.
Totally.
They've gone they went their separate ways a bit with music. They're vastly different kids. And I mean, they're born, I'd say they're born and bred out of the punk alternative music for sure, but they listen to different stuff. And so, but this past winter, so Connor played this song for Mason and for Vanetta and friend, and they absolutely love this song to the point where Mason is like, I want to do the drums. I want to do the drums. And I think Connor's like, yeah, no problem. As I think deep down, he's like, yeah, I don't want dad doing the drums. So you got to do the drums, right?
anyone but dad.
Anyone but the old guy. Okay. I mean, so, you know, I kind of feel it in my heart. I'm like, I really want to play drums on this song, but you know, no, I understand. But no, my oldest son Mason is a fantastic drummer. So,
yeah, I listened to that one song when they were playing together as Quick Play. And it's got very much a Dead Kennedys sort of feel to it.
Man, Jello Biafra. You nailed it. So Connor, one of his favorite bands is the Dead Kennedys.
See?
Like,
heavily influenced.
And, heavily. Early. So he's 18 now. He just turned 18 this past Monday. But he became a Dead Kennedys fan at like 13, I think, right? Like he's a real music sponge. I have to give him both my boys are, but Connor's really, he's fairly diverse in that he started off, you know, Blink 182, Billy Talent, Green Day, then morphed into punk, morphed into old punk. So Bad Religion, Dead Kennedys. And, but now he's like hip hop. And so he's really a sponge picking everything up. So yeah, you nailed it there with picking up on the Dead Kennedys. Yes.
You guys have been releasing actually just a lot of live stuff on Facebook. And I caught one where you got to play a little bit of old Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated, where you actually got to really let loose on it. What are some of the other favorite covers that you get to do where you actually get to let loose?
I like doing Everlong, Foo Fighters. I'd not necessarily let loose on it because it's a fast tune. You got to be on the ball on that one. But see here, Corduroy, Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely love to play that song. There's a couple of, you know, like I said, 3.6 was certainly born out of the post grunge stuff. You listen to the first record on Spotify, you can hear it pretty heavy grunge influence.
Yeah.
But and so a couple of Pearl Jam songs, but I'm thinking of like Corduroy. I'm thinking right now, I love that song. I like, you know what, Should I Stay or Should I Go is great to do.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean, anything, I'm a massive Joe Strummer Clash fan. So any chance to play something like that is fun, but we will mix some. Oh, Sublime. Yeah. We do, I think, three Sublime covers at Wrong Way. There you go. I love playing Wrong Way. Oh, so good. And then we'll mix it up, right? So I think the one Sublime we break into a Bob Marley tune right in the middle and then come back out. It's probably a copy of something Sublime actually did. I can't take credit for that.
But, shows are fun though.
But it is. Oh yeah. Absolutely fun. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's good that you get to do some covers in, because I mean, you guys have such a wide, diverse range of music that you guys have written that you can still work in some of those covers.
Well, and you know what? And I think a lot of my fellow musicians in the province who are like me, who we haven't made it as big rock stars, you know, if you want to keep playing shows, you got your own stuff, but you got to play some covers, man, or you're just not getting gigs. And so that's, you know, our albums we have on Apple and Spotify, our old albums have been there, you know, we've had them for a while. We have some new stuff. Hopefully in the next 6 months, we're going to record. We've been talking about it for a while. So
you guys just put out the video for Rewind Me. I can't find that for sale anywhere. Is that something that is that new?
That's brand. Rewind Me is a tune, a few years old, but the video we just did, and now we're just trying to figure out what to do with it. So yeah, hopefully that, I mean, here's how that came about a bit. So, and this is actually a neat story for a bunch of old rock. So if you go on Spotify and Apple, you see all the music we have there. Well, we have a single we put out a year ago, a year and a half. It's called In the Cards. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just acoustic. It's just Jeff and Pete. And so we sent that to 89.1 Max FM in Barrie Aurelia. Absolutely fantastic rock station. Really good. And they have a local, like they have a local thing, right? Well, you know, we'll send it, even though, because no one actually knows our age. It's a good thing. Yeah. And so we send it to them and we get a response back. I say, hey, we love the song. We're gonna put it on our local thing. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So it was May 2/4 weekend. And I was actually up here and on the island. I was down at the dock and I had 89.1 on my Music Player Canada app. And there were 30.6 playing on the radio. Well, they ended up keeping it in rotation for like 2 months.
That's so awesome.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it's a really cool thing because, you know, like it just the unexpected. So I think then from that, we had the song Rewind Me, and we were going to try and get it. We were trying to get it ramped up for a submission to 102. 102 had their song of the summer thing going on.
Yeah.
And but with COVID and stuff and getting together, we needed to submit a video. You can't just submit the song. So we were working on a video, and then we wanted to get some live shots in there of the band, and it just timing wise didn't get there. So that's why the video is kind of still where it's at. We haven't done much because we're trying to, we'd like to get something where it's, you know, it's got us playing in the video as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. You guys are not in the video at all.
No.
Or unless you're like in the back of a crowd with like just a hand up, I didn't see you.
No, we're not.
It's pretty hard to get a video done at this point. Well, maybe now things are opening up a little bit, but
yeah, and that was
not the last year.
Yeah, no, we were going to mash it up. We were going to do like each guy do a video at home playing the song, and we'll try to put it all together. But it's just, it didn't get there. But I'm hoping that that's actually something that's on the fire that we're going to try and do. And like I said, we've got, I think, 3 or 4 tunes that we want to get recorded and then just issue them as singles, because we all know singles is the game these days, right? I mean,
yeah.
We've almost made a bit of a mistake when putting up. So the first album we posted on Spotify was our second album, Universal Joint. And in hindsight, we should just posted a single off of it, because when we did do a single, all of a sudden it got a lot more streams than any album. And not realizing, or just, oh yeah, right, it's a singles market. It's a singles market, right?
The world has changed.
Yeah, or it's changed, or it's gone back the way it was in the 50s. In the 50s, it was a singles market, right? You know, like, I mean, I think it ebbs and flows. But yeah, it's definitely the case. You look at a band I love, Canadian, The Beaches, right? The Beaches are fantastic for releasing singles, and they're all good, right?
Yeah.
Without putting out a full-length album.
Okay, so talking about singles, let's go back to the first 45 album that you ever owned. Do you remember it?
It might have been a Beatles.
Yeah.
Maybe Let It Be or something. And I mean, you know, I would have been a young guy then too. A young guy, because the Beatles still would have been old, right? I would have been, but I think, well, I grew up, we had a record player, obviously. And, but the thing was, my folks are wonderful. My father's passed away, but they're much older than I am. I come from a family of my oldest wonderful sister is 21 years older than I am. So my dad was like 52 when I was born, right? So you got to think of the vast music gap between my parents and myself. Now I had, of course, six brothers and sisters or five, sorry. But we had a record player and stuff, and I had records, and I had my brother's records, and then I was buying stuff. But I think the first single had to be a Beatles thing. I think when I was like grade 6 or 7, I was in on a Beatles kick. I mean, I guess we all go through a Beatles kick at some point, right?
Yeah.
So
did your parents have like a 38? Remember that? Like they, the my parents were older too. And they would have, I think it was 38s or 36s, something like they were thicker. They weren't like a
thicker.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. But you know what? Like my parents didn't even listen to records, right? All the records were my older brother's records. So we're talking about records that they're there like Led Zeppelin 4 or April Wine or, you know, Trooper, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the record or Eagles. Eagles or Gordon Lightfoot, those kind of records, but they were all from my brothers and sisters, not my folks. My folks didn't listen to records. Right. So So it was interesting. That's for sure. And so when I started playing in a rock band, I mean, it didn't matter. My folks were so cool about that and just loved the fact that I was in music. There's music in my family. So yeah. So, but it's actually just been super cool. I consider myself fortunate, blessed, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. To have the Andrew,
what was your 45?
That would have been Bob and Doug McKenzie's Strange Brew.
Oh, I
had the album.
The 45. I had a 45.
Oh, okay. Right.
Was it the 45? Was it with Geddy Lee? Was that the single? You know, you said Strange Brew. That's the movie, right?
Yeah, it's the single from the movie, and
it's an odd first.
I know, but that was it. That was it.
Now that is odd. Yeah, can't lie.
All of a sudden, I just crashed the conversation.
No.
I'm blaming really. Bob and Doug.
That's it's interesting. No. It's Canadiana.
Yes. I have that. I still have the record. The Great White. What was the record called? Just Great White North.
Great White North.
The hose, actually, right? The you know what? I have it on CD too. I had it on CD, so
oh, no way.
Yeah, because I wanted to play the Christmas song for my sons. You know, the 12 Days of Christmas, and they do that. I had to, you know, play it for them, even though they were like, "What is this?"
Now it's probably something that they have to listen to every Christmas.
I think I might have put it on last Christmas. Yes, for sure.
Oh boy! Yeah. All right. So we finish up the podcast generally with this thing called the speed round. That's where we fire questions like, I don't know, Pearl or Yamaha, and you get to just, you answer the question, right?
Gotcha.
Just one word.
You just choose one.
Okay. Perfect.
And then we get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, great. Now I'm all nervous. I wasn't nervous.
You know what?
Now.
This is, I mean, it's highly unscientific. It's nobody's going to remember the answers after they listen to this anyway. So don't you worry. Okay.
I submitted the question boxers or briefs, and Andrew refused to take it.
I vetoed that very quickly. I do not want to know. I never need to know.
Okay.
Andrew, right, he's a drummer. He probably plays in his underwear. I don't think you understand drummers.
That's right.
That's true.
You're so right.
He can play. He can play on with anything he wants. That came out wrong. In anything that he wants.
We talked about this. I'm behind everybody, so I can do whatever I want back there, right?
There you go.
Yeah, you got that big kick in front of you. It's all good.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
We only have four listeners, Johnny. So, you know, we're not going to.
I love it. I love it. Four listeners. I love it.
Okay. Let's get going here. Let's start off with small town or big city.
Small town.
Traditional grip or match grip?
Match grip.
Scotch or beer?
Beer.
Preferred way to exercise? Skiing or mountain biking?
Skiing.
YouTube or TikTok?
YouTube.
That's a weird question when everybody on this podcast is over 40.
See, that's what I TikTok, it's a strange addiction. I do not have it on my phone. I can't have it on my phone. It's too much of a waste of time. Anyway, Neil Peart of Rush.
Wait. What about Toss Across or Etch-a-Sketch? I mean, let's look at the age demographic.
You know what? We can have that on the next show. You put that in the rapid fire questions for the next show. John doesn't get that. So okay. Neil Peart of Rush or John Bonham of Led Zeppelin?
Neil Peart of Rush.
Okay. Beach vacation or adventure vacation?
Adventure.
Jazz or pop music?
Jazz.
Conga drums or bongo drums?
Congas.
Nice. And we're going to finish off with Budweiser Stage or Roy Thompson Hall?
Budweiser Stage.
Oh, I like how Johnny's answering these like there's a lot of money on the line.
Yeah, I hope I get it right.
Like, I know people listening can't see the visual, of course, but he's pain.
Budweiser Stage, Roy Thompson. I mean, Budweiser Stage. I want to go like open for Blink 182 at Budweiser Stage. Like, you know?
Yeah. Oh.
Nice.
I would love to see Blink 182. I'm hoping that they're touring.
So Johnny, up for them, you let us know and we'll be at that show.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you're in. Yeah,
beautiful.
That'd be cool. Johnny, thank you for doing this today.
Oh, it's so much fun. I've been looking forward to it. I honestly was looking forward to it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, said, wow, they wanted the drummer, they want me. I feel so
that's
good.
The important guy in the band. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were able to make it out today, even though that it's your wife Vanetta's birthday. Send big birthday love out to her for us.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, you have to thank her for giving you up for an hour. I appreciate that.
She's the best. She
probably appreciates it as well.
Well, she just did duck out for a little bit. So yeah, probably. Possible.
All right. That's good. It was nice meeting you, Johnny.
It's good to meet you too, Lance. Well, okay. So we'll have to have a beer, right? We're going to get together for a beer.
Definitely. I love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. If you guys are down playing Toronto or anywhere, let us know. We'll slide up and catch the gig.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Wicked. Well, I guess that's been another episode of Backstage Lowdown.
That is another episode of Backstage Lowdown.
Thanks for listening.
Stage Lowdown.